Welcome to Church Online as we gather as a community of hope in this way. Special welcome if you're with us for the first time. My name is Lynn and I'm the minister at Adelaide West. This week marks 6 months of meeting together in this way, 6 months of worship and witness. It's taken a team of people to do this, and thank you to everyone who has been and continues to be a part of creating this service. Thank you for your comments and your encouragement and for being part of the church community in this way. We're committed to continuing this service online into the future. So for 6 months, we've been lighting a candle at the beginning. It's been one of the rhythms of the services. And we invite you to light one at home as well. We remember the presence of God as we meet. And it's this beautiful symbol of unity together. In our community life this week, the youth went to Bounce. It was a very energetic night and a great way to finish the school term. If you'd like information about Adelaide West Youth, contact us or go to the Adelaide West Uniting Church Youth Facebook page. David Bailey, one of the elders at Adelaide West, is bringing us the message this morning and we look forward to hearing from him. We hope this service is refreshing for you. We sing together, "How great is our God."
The splendor of He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me. Beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and
First Bible reading today is from Exodus 17, verses 1 to 7. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, travelling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarrelled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Go out in front of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?"
The second reading is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, by taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I caught up with a friend of mine for coffee recently. She and I, we've known each other for 30 years. And we talked about the loss of work. She's a bit concerned about me. I'm between jobs looking for work, and other work colleagues as well talked about them. And then she began to share how she was really feeling the loss of her husband. He passed away a few years back. And I remember going to their wedding, a few other bits and pieces, going to his funeral. She shared about this grief that's just there, not really going away. Big, big loss. We talked about death as well. It was an honest conversation. Look, my friend's pretty resilient in life, pretty positive, gets on with things. And I was reflecting that for her, you know, this sense of loss, this actual loss, means she's not really contented in life. Now, things just haven't worked out at all how she was expecting. Today's Old Testament reading is about the people of Israel in the desert. And they're not particularly contented either, actually. And this image shows us the Israelites saying to Moses, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us, our children, and lost it, die of thirst, anger?" Moses went to God and said, what am I to do with these people? They're ready to stone me. And we may know the story. God said back to Moses, take your staff, the one they used to split the Nile, take some elders of Israel, walk ahead, go to a particular spot, and hit the rock, and water will flow out from the rock. And indeed, water did. And Moses gave the name of this place a particular name that reflected the Israelites were quarrelling and testing the Lord and asking of the Lord, is the Lord among us or not? The Israelites were indeed discontented, even though God went before them. Contentment. Wikipedia describes it as an emotional state of satisfaction, a bit to do with how you think. You may be drawn from being at ease in one's situation, body and mind, a milder form of happiness. My friend's story in the Israelites is about how loss, what significant loss, impacts on how contented we feel. For me, contentment is a bit elusive. And if you talk about contentment, I feel like I've got to go and chase it to find it, and the chasing means it actually goes away. And life sometimes turns out differently than what we expect. I don't know your situation. You might be contented. You might be quite thankful for how things are. You might be discontented, however, with how things are, or a mix of both. It might change from this morning to this afternoon or over 3 or 4 months. Honesty in this is valuable. And no matter whatever statement or situation of contentment you are in, it's okay to be in that situation. The psalm for today, the psalmist is writing about God to the recipients. In Psalm 78, he writes this. He did miracles in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the region of Zoan. He divided the sea and led them through. He made the water stand firm like a wall. He guided them with a cloud by day and with the light of the fire all night. He split the rocks in the desert and gave them water as abundant as the seas. He brought streams out of a rocky crag and made water flow down like rivers. The psalmist is reminding the recipients of this psalm what God had done in the past, including in the desert. The psalmist starts out by saying this, O my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I'll open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. Are you and I remembering what God has done? Are we telling the next generation? Taking that opportunity. Part of remembering what God has done is what God did with the Israelites, and it's also what Christ has done for us in the work on the cross, but also how Christ related with people on earth when he was here. The gospel readings today, in one of the stories, Christ is approached by some religious leaders and they say to him, on what authority are you saying what you're saying and doing what you're doing? And Christ says some things back to them and he leaves them befuddled, hence the image. Now these religious leaders were pretty comfortable in their beliefs and how they understood things, and yet Christ came and upset how they thought about things. He made the comfortable in that sense uncomfortable. The other gospel reading for today has a particular story, and the point of the story is about how some people are just believing in Christ. Now, the outcasts of that time, they were known as the tax collectors and the prostitutes, were choosing to believe in Christ. No, they were experiencing comfort in their discontentment. Now, our situations are all unique. Some of us need comfort. Other times, I'm using the term, we need to kick up the pants. You know, Christ makes the comfortable sometimes uncomfortable, and he brings comfort to those who need it. Are you open to reconsidering your situation in light of who you are by believing in Christ? As a daughter and son of Christ, are you open to reconsidering your situation? You know, Paul wrote to the Philippian church, if you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, these are from the Message, this particular version, then agree with each other, love each other, be deep spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front, don't sweet talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourself long enough to lend a helping hand. So Paul is encouraging believers in Christ to be themselves, to make good use of what you're good at doing. Certainly avoid any semblance of arrogance, but just get on with caring for each other and serving each other. And in the words of today's psalmist, telling the next generation. So, in conclusion, significant loss, like my friend, like the Israelites in the desert, does impact how contented we feel. And our individual situations of contentment and discontentment are quite unique to us. Like the religious leaders back then who were somewhat challenged by Christ, what Christ had to say, or like the outcast prostitute who found comfort in Christ. And Christ comes to us, bringing us what we need, be it a kick up the pants or comfort. Remember what God has done for the Israelites and in Christ. And as Paul said, we now can, and indeed we now should, genuinely care for each other and serve each other and the wider community and whatever it is we're feeling called to, including in telling the next generation. So in our contentment and discontentment, Christ is with us and goes before us.
God's righteousness revealed. The Son of Man, the Son of God, his kingdom come. Jesus, redemption sacrifice. Now glorified, now justified, his kingdom come. And its glory shall know no bounds. righteousness revealed. Jesus, God's righteousness revealed.
Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you that you are with us and that you go before us. We thank you that we are never alone, but you are always with us in our contentment, in our discontentment. Forgive us for those times when we do say and think things that are not of you, that separate us from you and from others. And thank you that these things and all our sins are forgiven through Christ Jesus. Holy Spirit, lead us, we pray, today in this week ahead, to share and to show your love to the world, to the people around us in our lives. Help us to remember that Christ is with us and goes before us, and to live into that in this coming week. And we remember our world this morning. We pray for this, for those places where there is great discontent, where situations are difficult, places where there is war and hunger, disease, natural disasters. We continue to pray for an end to the global pandemic, and we pray for those places that are really, we're really doing it tough, where there are many deaths and many cases of COVID at this time. And we think of people in France and the UK and parts of Africa and the US. Lord Jesus, we pray for our country, and as the borders are easing in some places, we pray that there would be no transmission of COVID between states through this, that would help us all to do the right thing together. And we continue to pray for Victoria, for brothers and sisters that are in lockdown at this time. Be their strength. Be their hope, we pray. We also pray for all of those that are going into school holidays right at the moment, for students and teachers and staff. And we pray for refreshment. This has been a long term. And with the holidays eaten up last time for teachers and staff, it's almost a 22-week term, and so we pray for refreshment over these next 2 weeks. Holy Spirit, we pray for those we know and love that are struggling with life, that are grieving the death of loved ones, and that are undergoing treatments, facing health issues, or just going with ongoing struggle. We lift them to you, names and faces of people we love, people we work with, people we see. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
One, two, three, four.
Lord, we thank you for your presence in this place, for the way you have revealed your love and grace. And as we've taken time to listen for your word, we pray our lives will demonstrate we've heard. Take these feet, may they always follow where you lead. Take these hands, may they reach out, love to those in need. Take these lips, may they speak words of life and hope. Take these hearts, may we know you are everywhere we go. Lord, we thank you for your presence in this place, for the way you have revealed your love and grace. And as we've taken time to listen for your word, we pray our lives will demonstrate we've heard. Take these feet, may they always follow where you lead. Take these hands, may they reach out, love to those in need. Take these lips, may they speak words of life and hope. Take these hearts, may we know you are everywhere we go. You go before, you watch behind, you walk beside us. You go before, you watch behind, you walk beside us. You go before, you watch behind, you walk everywhere we go. You go before, you watch behind, you walk everywhere we go.
Thank you for being a part of this service today. I hope it's been refreshing. Thank you to David for sharing the message with us today. We're really grateful. Thank you to each of you for your gifts and offerings as we continue to respond to God's grace and generosity. And we pray that these gifts, our offerings, and our lives would reflect the gospel and show God's love. I encourage you to reach out and to connect with others. And as always, prayer is available. Ring or email, or if you're watching live, then press the prayer button. Next week on Sunday, here at Adelaide West, we have our One Service Sunday. Now, we're still not sure whether we'll be able to do a live stream of that as well, so that all four services are one. Or it may be that we still needed to pre-record this one, but then in the future that we'll be able to do that. But we're all meeting at 10 o'clock next Sunday. So the 9:15, the 11 and the 5 p.m. are all meeting together at 10 o'clock, as will you. So this is an opportunity for us to worship together at the same time. As you go into this week, in your contentment and in your discontentment, Christ is with us and goes before us. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship, friendship, and unity of the Holy Spirit be with you each day, every day, as you continue to follow and serve God. Amen. Blessings on your way.
Love to those in need. Take these lips, may they speak words of life and hope. Take these hearts, may we know you are everywhere we go. You go before, you watch behind, you walk beside.